our 22nd morning. So we begin this morning, Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Erevin. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says the following, Mavoi, Shehu Gavoa L'mala Me'esrim Amo. If you have a Mavoi, that, now again, remember, just to orient ourselves a little bit, so the Mavoi is the alleyway. So the setup in times of the Gemara was you had homes that opened up into a chatzar, homes that opened up into a courtyard, and common courtyards that opened up into an alleyway. That alleyway is called the Mavoi. The Mavoi then led into the Rosh Hasharabim. So the Mishnah writes that if you have a Mavoi that's higher than 20 Amos, now it doesn't literally refer to over here the Mavoi. Instead, it refers to something called the Korah. Now we'll discuss that. Well, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is Mavoi Shu Gavoa. Shenichwa Sekor L'mala Me'esrim Amo. The Korah is a beam that lays across the entranceway of the Mavoi. We'll see what that beam does. So if the Korah is higher than 20 Amos, the Korah Zu Lahatir L'taltil L'socha. But the reason you put the Korah across the top of the Mavoi is to allow for carrying within the Mavoi. Dimida Oraisa, Itzar Hotsaas Rishus Harabim B'Shabbos. Because Mid-Oraisa, one is not permitted to go ahead and carry Rosh Hasharabim on Shabbos. Umahi Rosh Hasharabim, what is the definition of Rosh Hasharabim? It's a very important Rashi. Sracha Uplacha Gedola. Sracha Uplacha means, again, very common areas, large common streets. Kida Amra Meperek Yitzios HaShabbos, Shedomin Lidigoli HaMidbar. Dechomili DeShabbos Mishkan Garminon, Va'agolo Shaladiyim Beroch of Yud Vav Amos, Ozli Kida Amina Ba'azorik. So if you remember again, we learn out every aspect of Melech Shabbos from what was done in the Mishkan. So what was done in the Mishkan, if you remember again, when the wagons used to travel, the wagons of the Levim, they used to transport the different parts of the Mishkan. So again, it would span a width of 16 Amos. 16 Amos in the Beis HaMikdash. 16 Amos in the Rosh Hasharabim. Therefore, Hilchach, Lo Havi Rosh Hasharabim Batsir Miyud Vav Amo Rochav, Umafulash Mi Beis Roshin. So both say that the biblical definition of Rosh Hasharabim has to be an area that is at least 16 Amos wide. We'll see an Amos about at least a foot and a half. So it has to be at least 16 Amos wide, and it must be open on both ends. Ava Mavoi Katsarhu, the Im Racha of Yurvav. So first of all, a Mavoi, this alleyway, is short. I should say, is narrow. It's not 16 Amos wide. V'inami rachavu enam afulosh. El rosha echas pasuach l'rosh sarabim. V'rosha echad sosum. And furthermore, even if it does have the width, most usually, a Mavoi was not open on both sides. A Mavoi was usually closed on one side and open on the other. D'yavam afulosh lo havi mishtri b'kora kitarmina b'gimara. V'chivan delav rosh sarabim hu shari l'taltulei bei Bein min haTorah b'li shum tikun. And I will say, so therefore, because the Mavoi is not usually 16 Amos wide, and even if it is 16 Amos wide, it's not usually open on both ends, mid to orais, you are permitted to carry in a Mavoi. The rabbis, however, came along, v'rabbanon gazur alei mishum da'asi le'echlufei b'rishus harabim. The rabbis came along, however, and were gozer on it. Why? Because one may confuse a Mavoi with a rishus harabim. Because we will say, since a Mavoi in certain respects resembles Rosh Hasharabim, in that again, you have multiple chatzeros, multiple courtyards opening up into the same alleyways, Chazal were concerned that what will happen, you may come to go ahead and assume that if you could carry in a Mavoi, you're also able to carry Rosh Hasharabim. Therefore, what did the rabbis do? Vishariyuha bitakhanta delechi okora, delehavi hekera. So we'll say, what did the rabbi say? If you want to go ahead and carry a Mavoi, you have to go ahead and make some kind of recognizable distinction. Either what's called a Lechi or a Korah, a vertical beam or a horizontal beam that must be positioned at the entranceway of the Mavoi. The rabbi will say, what is the purpose of that beam? So we'll see later on, it's actually a Machlokes. For now, Rashi says it's a Heker. It is a recognizable reminder that what? It demarcates the area of the Mavoi from the Rosh Hasharabim. So let's say when you're in the Mavoi and you're about to enter the Rosh Hasharabim, you see that Lechi, you see that Korah, and it reminds you that what? That you are leaving the confines of a Mavoi, going into the Rosh Hasharabim, and therefore carrying, transporting an item will be prohibited. So now back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah therefore says, if you have a Mavoi that has a Korah, right, that has, again, that has the horizontal beam, that has the horizontal beam going across its top, right? Then what? If it's higher than 20 amos, you must yemait. You must go ahead and bring it down. Apparently, we'll see that in order for the lechi or the korah to work, it has to be a visual reminder. If it's too high up, what's going to happen? It's out of a person's field of vision. So therefore, if it's higher than 20 amos, you must bring it down. Weiter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not necessary. V'harochav me'eser amos yimait. However, again, if you have a situation of a mavoi that is more an entrance way, that is 10 amos wide. So we'll say now we've gone from height to ultimately opening of the mavoi. Harochav me'eser amos, if a mavoi has an opening that is more than 10 amos wide, yimait. You must make the opening smaller. We'll discuss how you do that. However, if the opening of the mavoi has a tzuras ha-pesach, I will say, what is a tzuras ha-pesach? A tzuras ha-pesach is a doorway, which means two side posts and one top post. If it has a tzuras ha-pesach, then afa pi shehu rochav me'eser amos ein tzorich lemait. Then in that case, if it has a tzuras ha-pesach, then even if the entranceway is wider than 10 amos, you need not go ahead and decrease. It's Rabbi Say, three principles in the Mishnah. Number one, that the korah, the beam that goes across, must be within 20 amos. If it's higher than 20 amos, you have to lower it. Number two, the entranceway could only be 10 amos wide. Number three, if you have a tzuras ha-pesach, a form of an entranceway, then even if it's wider than 10 amos, it's okay. Fine. Says the Gemara, Tznan Hasam, Sukkah Shehi Gavoa Lemala Me'esrim Amo. So we'll say, now the Gemara brings down, quotes a Mishnah from Sukkah. And the Mishnah on Sukkah says that if you have a Sukkah that is taller than 10 Amos, Psula, the Sukkah is possible. So we'll say again. So this is, 20 amos. I'm sorry, see, if I have a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos, the sukkah is possible. But Rabbi Huda Machshir, Rabbi Huda says it's kosher. And I also just want to point out, the reason why a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is possible is the same reason why a korah higher than 20 amos is not good also. Why? So the Gemara and Sukkah uses Lashon of the Lo Shalta Be'ena. Because the whole point of Sukkah is Schach. Higher than 20 amos, a person is not going to be visually connected to the Schach. So therefore, the Mishnah in Sukkah says that if you have a Sukkah that's higher than 20 amos, it's Pasul. Rabbi Huda says it's Kosher. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Ma'ishna Gabi Sukkah de Tani Psula, the Gabi Mavui Tani Takanto. So we'll say, here we seem to have two similar principles, both operating on the same idea, that anything higher than 20 amos is pretty much out of your range of vision, and therefore, again, whenever you need to visually connect, it must be within 20 amos. But the Mishnah deals with it two different ways. In Sukkah, it makes a simple statement. If it's higher than 20 amos, pasul. Yet, in Erevin, it makes a practical statement, or I should say a solution-oriented statement. What does it say in Erevin? If it's higher than 20 amos, make it lower. So why is it that in Sukkah it just says psula, whereas in Erevin it says takanta? It's a busy morning here. Right? It says a takana. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara now gives a couple of answers to this. Number one, Sukkah da'oraisa tani psula, mavoi drabanan tani takanta. So the first answer the Gemara gives is that when it comes to Sukkah, which is a da'oraisa issue, so the Mishnah simply says pasul, mavoi, which is drabanan, the Mishnah gives us a strategy for fixing the problem. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Mavoi, Look at Rashi. Mavui, the holy kara, the previous Rashi, Tani Psula. So Sukkah, which is the Oraisa, So the Mishnah just simply says that it's pasul. Rashi says Tani Psula, Hoil ukvar mimos Moshe nitna midazu. Since already from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, these measurements were given. Uba'u chachamim lefarish lecha shimlo asa kein psula. So also remember, the measurements of a sukkah, of course, are not sukkah. Is of course stated explicitly in the Torah. The measurements are not. The measurements are a halacha le Moshe Misinai. right? Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them at Har Sinai, which means they have the status of a Da'oraisa, but again, they're not explicitly written in the text. So what happens? Ubo chacham lefarshlecha, shim lo'asekim psula, shayach lemisni ba lashon paslus, afa gav demahanya batakanta, kol kamud lomatakin ikra psula. So we'll say, what is, Rashi says like this. When it comes to Sukkah, which is Da'oraisa, now what does it mean it's Da'oraisa? The laws are already established. So because the laws are already established, the Mishnah simply says what? If the sukkah is too high, what's the din? The din is pasul. However, mavui, look at the next Rashi, mavui, t'cholui kara d'rabbananu. The whole concept of a mavui, right? The whole concept of a mavui. Now, of course, when it says the concept of a mavui, I mean the idea, remember, as we said before, mid-da'oraisa, can you carry in a mavui? Mid-da'oraisa? Yes, it's not a shurabim. So midrash is carrying a mavoi. The whole idea that you can't carry a mavoi, what is now a new din drabbanon, a gzera drabbanon. So Rashi says, "Halo shayich l'neimar lashon paslos sharikan his schilu lahar oscha iske mavoi v'torosav." So you can't say pasul by mavoi. Why can't you say pasul by mavoi? Rashi says because we're just being introduced to this concept of mavoi. Right? They both say, remember, until this Mishnah came along, what was the status of a mavoi? Right? You could just carry it like you carry anywhere else. So now the Mishnah is introducing to us the concept that the rabbis are restricting movement in a mavui. So you can't say that if the korah is higher than 20 amos, it's psula. What does that mean? We're just learning all of these halachos for this concept. It's just being introduced for the first time. Because first answer to the Gemara, what the Gemara is suggesting is, the lashon of psula is used when you have an already established body of law. So then you can see, you have an already established body of law. This particular case doesn't conform to the law. Possible. But if you don't have an already established body of law, like by Mavui, where the body of law is being created right here in front of us now in this Mishnah, to say psula doesn't make any sense. Psula why? What? When? How? Where? I'm being introduced to these halachos for the first time. Therefore, it can't say psula. Therefore, what does it do? It gives the takana. Back to the Gimar. Vivoy Sema. That's the first answer. Then it gives the second answer. Vivoy Sema. Now, it's not true. Even by cases of Da'oraisa, the Mishnah sometimes goes ahead and gives us the remedy for how to fix the problem. So if that's the case, so why is it that by Sukkah, it just says Pasul and by Mavo, it gives us the Takana, the way to remedy the situation? El Sukkah, the Nefishin Mile Pasek Vitani Psula. So I will say the difference is that in that Mishnah in Sukkah, the Mishnah was going through a whole variety of halachos concerning Sukkah. Because remember, Sukkah is a complicated thing. Sukkah has halachos that deal with its tzrach, halachos that deal with the walls, halachos that deals with all kinds of things. Therefore, the Gemara gives a much simpler answer here. When it comes to Sukkah, the Mishnah can't start getting into the details of every single case, right? That's the job of the Gemara. So therefore, the Mishnah, in order to not become too verbose, just simply says, if the Sukkah is higher than 20 amos, then what? Then what? Pasul. Because you can't start getting into the remedy, because the remedy doesn't just involve the schach. The remedy also involves the walls. The remedy involves many other related halachos as well. Too much to get into in the Mishnah. Therefore, the Mishnah just simply says, pasul. Mavui, delo nefishe milsa, tani takanta. However, when it comes to Mavui, the Chizra Bosai, Mavui, we're going to see the halachos are actually not all that complicated. They're actually pretty simple. You need a lechi, or you need a korah, right? You need a beam that stands up, or you need a beam that goes across the entranceway, and that's got to be within 20 amos of the ground. That's pretty much the entirety of those halachos. Therefore, says the Gemara, because it's not so complex, because it's not so intricate and complicated, therefore, very simply, the Mishnah tells us how to remedy the situation. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So I'll say, now that we've done that, the Gemara wants to get into the fundamental machlokis in the Mishnah. Because the fundamental machlokis was between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama, the first opinion in the Mishnah, simply says that if the Korah, right, if the beam that goes across the top of the Mavui, if that beam, which is there according to Rashi, for what purpose? To just serve as a reminder that the Mavui is different than the Rosh Sarabim. So that a person should not confuse and think that because I can carry the Mavui, I can therefore carry Rosh Sarabim. So the Tanakhama says that has to be within 20 Amos. Rabbi Huda says, no it doesn't. Even if it's higher, it's okay. So the question is, of course, what is at the root of their Machlokas? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Huda, I'm Rav. Chachamim lo lamduha, ela mi pischo shel heichal, Rabbi Huda lo lamde elami pischo shel ulam. So the Gemara says they both learn out their shiurim from different parts of the Beis Medrash. Of the Beis Hamikdash. Well, say you know again. I don't know if you have. I don't know if anyone has the newer Gemaras. Although this one doesn't have a very good picture of this, but they do have. They do have pictures in the back of the Gemaras. But again, not here, it's not very helpful. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two parts. There were two parts to the main building. There's what's called the Ulam, which is like the antechamber, and there's the Heichal, which is the temple proper. Now, if you look at it, the Ulam is much larger than the Heichal. So the Ulam was taller and wider than the Heichal, and then the Heichal was shorter and more narrow. So the Gemara wants to suggest that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan learn their respective shitos from the dimensions of the Ulam, the antechamber, and the Heichal, and the Kodesh. So what does this mean? Look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, this nan. Rabbi Yehuda lamdu elam pischo shel ulam. This man, pischo shel heichal, gavho esrim amo. The entranceway of the heichal was 20 amos tall. The entranceway of the heichal was 20 amos tall. The rachbo esr amos, and the width of the heichal was 10 amos. Vishal ulam, the entranceway of the ulam of the antechamber, gavhu arboim amo, was 40 amos tall, virachbo esrim, and was 20 amos wide. Ushnehem mikra echad darshu, and both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim darshin the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? Vishachatu pesach ohel moed. They will shecht the karban opposite the entrance, or in the entranceway of the Ohel Moed. And I will say, what we're going to see over here, here's the operative word, Pesach. Pesach. The idea is that the Torah is going ahead and using the word Pesach to describe the entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash. The fundamental distinction is going to be which entranceway is being called the Pesach. Is it the entranceway of the Ulam, which again is how tall? How tall? Ulam, 40 amos, or is it the entranceway of the Heichal, which is 20 amos? So obviously now you see where this is going to go. This is going to be the fundamental dispute between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. When the Torah says Pesach, which opening is it referring to, which will then translate into what the definition of a Pesach is. For a Mavoi, the Rabbanan Savri Kedushas Heichal Lechol Kedushas Ulam Mechud. The rabbis hold that the Kedusha of the Heichal, the Kedusha of the antechamber, and the Kedusha of the Kiddush of the Heichal, which is the Mikdash, what we call the Kodesh, and the Kiddush of the Ulam. Rabbosai, just also to orient yourselves, there was nothing in the Ulam, right? There was nothing in the antechamber. It really was just the hallway. Everything was in the Kodesh. So let's say, for example, the golden altar, the golden Mizbeach, on which the Ketoros was burned, the menorah, the Shulchan, the Kodesh Kadashim, all of that is in the Heichal. The Ulam was really just, as it says, was an antechamber. It was a foyer. It was an entranceway. So there,
any actions done in the Ulam?
Nothing was done in the Ulam.
Nothing.
Well, you walk through it. It was literally a hallway. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says like this. So according to the Rabbanan hold that the Kedusha of the Heichal is by itself, and the Kedusha of the Ulam is by itself. Two separate Kedushos. The Chiksiv Pesach Ohel Moed, and when the Torah says that the Karban was shechted at the entranceway of the Ohel Moed, a Heichal Ksiv. That's talking about the entranceway of the Heichal. So at the entranceway of the Heichal is also called the Kodesh. So if I use those words interchangeably, you know, it's also called the Kodesh. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Heichal v'ulam kedusha achosu. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Heichal and Ulam have one kedusha. V'chi ksiv pesach ohel moed atar vayu d'ksiv. And when it says opposite the entranceway of the ohel moed, which entranceway is he referring to? Both of them. So we'll say again, if we stop right here, now we understand the machlokas. The chachamim who hold that when the Torah says Pesach, Pesach refers to what? Pesach refers to the entranceway of the Heichal. The entranceway of the Heichal was how tall? 20 amos. Therefore, again, I will say, how do we plug this back? So now remember, what are we trying to do at the Mavui? What are we trying to do? We're trying to create a halachic entranceway. Which, well, again, what's the point of creating this entranceway? This entranceway is to serve as a reminder. So therefore, the Rabbanon would say, the definition of an entranceway is what? What? That the top beam has to be within 20 amos. Because if it's not within 20 amos, then by definition, that's not called the Pesach. And therefore, if the Korah is higher than 20 amos, what do you have to do? You have to decrease it. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, say, no. Pesach can refer to Heichal, but it can also refer to what? It can also refer to the Ulam, to the antechamber. Rabbi Huda, excuse me, thank you. And it can refer to both, because they're Kedusha Achas, they have the same Kedusha. So it can refer to Ulam. And how tall was the Ulam? How tall was it? 40 Amos. Therefore, says Rabbi Huda, even if you have a 40 Amah high Pesach, that's also called an entrance. And therefore, even if the Korah is more than 20 Amos tall, what do you have to do with it?
Leave it.
Absolutely nothing. You could just leave it alone.
So did the Rabbanan say,
inside, correct.
Because the ulam is almost insignificant.
Correct, because legabe karbonos, it doesn't mean anything. Correct. So the Yosef Vibay is saying, another possibility is, the Rabbi Yehuda Nami Kedushas Ulam Lekudu Kedushas Heichal Lekud. The other possibility is that, no, even Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between the Kedusha of the Ulam and the Kedusha of the Heichal. V'hocha, hainu tamid Rabbi Yehuda, Dichsiv El Pesach Ulam Habayis. The difference over here is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it uses the lashon of Pesach Ulam Habayis. That ultimately, again, it doesn't just say Pesach, right? It doesn't just say Pesach Ulam or Pesach, but Pesach Ulam Habayis. The Rabbanon I Havikziv El Pesach Ulam Kideka Amrit. Hashta Dichsiv El Pesach Ulam Habayis. Habayis hapasuach liulam. So interestingly enough, Shabbos say the other possibility is that according to Rabbi Huda, since the Torah uses the lashon of Pesach ulam habayis, that tells you that what? That the definition of Pesach can either go by the dimensions of the ulam, or it could go by the dimensions of the bayis. Right? And therefore Rabbi Huda will allow the Korah even to be higher than 20 amos. On the other hand, the Rabbanon will say, that would be fine if it said al Pesach ulam. Excuse me. Now that it says Al Pesach Ulam Habayis, the Rabbanan darshan that to mean what? That we're looking at the entranceway that leads into the bayis. The bayis in this context means what? Means the heichal, and therefore we are relegated to a shear of 20 amos. So the Gemara now asks a more fundamental question: V'ha ki ksiv hai b'mishkan ksiv? So we'll say, now the Gemara brings down a more fundamental kasha. I don't understand what you're doing. You're taking a pasuk, and you are applying it to the Beis HaMikdash, but actually the pasuk was not written by the Beis HaMikdash. Where was this particular pasuk written? This pasuk is from Chumash Vayikra, right? What is it referring to in Chumash Vayikra? The Mishkan. And the Mishkan has totally different... So we'll say, see what's happening over here? The Gemara was just taking this particular pasuk and applying it to the dimensions of the Ulam and the Heichal. So what the Gemara wanted to do was to isolate that word Pesach. What does Pesach mean from a biblical perspective? Because if you tell me what Pesach means, then I can understand why Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon are arguing in the Mishnah. They're arguing the dimensions of a Pesach. The Gemara says, one second. This Pasuk is not written by the dimensions of the Mikdash. This Pasuk is written by the dimensions of the Mishkan, which is totally different. To which the Gemara says, that's not a problem. Okay, Ksiv, hi, b'mishkan Ksiv. So Gemara says, not a problem. Ashkechon Mishkan, the Ikri Mikdash. Umikdash the Ikri Mishkan. That's not a problem because we have found that the Mishkan is called a Mikdash, and the Mikdash is called a Mishkan, which allows us, what Rabosai, to go ahead, because the words are interchangeable, it also allows us to learn concepts one from the other. The Ilo Temachi, because if you don't say this, Hadam Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel, Shlomim Sheshachtan Kodem Psichos Daltos Haheichal Psulin. If you shechted karbanos before the opening of the doors of the Heichal, the karbanos are pasul. The karbanos, but look at Rashi for just a moment. Shlomim Sheshachtan Shachris. If you're shechting certain shlomim in the morning, Kodem Psichas Adaltos Haheichal, before the doors of the Beis HaMikdash are open, the apostle Shneemar, how do we know this? V'shachatu Pesach Oel Moed. We learn this out from the pasuk because the Torah says, you shall shecht the offerings opposite the entrance of the Oel Moed, which gives us a connotation of what? Bizman Sheposchin V'lo Bizman Shneulin. That's only when the doors are open and not when the doors are closed. That's the only one problem. V'haki Ksiv Ahi B'mishkan Ksiv. Only one problem, which is, that pasuk is referring to the Mishkan. And what? The Mishkan Boset did not what? Did not have doors. Right? The Mishkan did not have doors. So therefore, what do you see? Ela Ashkechan Mishkan de Ikri Mishkan. Excuse me. Ela Ashkechan Mikdash de Ikri Mishkan. U Mishkan de Ikri Mikdash. Rather, we see that the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is called the Mikdash. And what does that allow us to do? That allows us to go ahead and learn out halachos one from the other. See, even though, again, this particular pasuk is written by the Mishkan, we are able to extrapolate from it for halachos from the Mikdash as well. So the Gemara now tests this concept. Bishlam Mikdash Degri Mishkan. Okay, I understand that the Mikdash is called the Mishkan. Dichsiv, v'nasati es mishkani b'sochachem, because the pasuk says, I will go ahead and put my mishkan right in your midst. And we know that that particular pasuk does not just refer to the mishkan, but also refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Ela mishkan de ikri mikdash minalon. But where do we know that the mishkan is called the mikdash? Ilima midichsiv v'nasu ha'kasim nosei ha'mikdash v'ekimu es ha'mishkan ad bo'am. Maybe because the pasuk says that B'nai Kahas will go ahead and carry the mikdash and they will erect the mishkan later on. Ha'hu ba'arun ksiv. No, the Gemara says that actually when the Torah says over there that Kahas carries the mikdash, then mikdash is actually referring specifically to what? Is actually referring specifically to the Aron. Because what does the pasuk say, Rabbi Osai? You will make for me a mikdash and I will dwell within you. Now specifically, what was that referring to?
Mishkan.
That's just referring to the Mishkan. So the point that Gemara says, Rabbi Osai, is that we see that sometimes the mikdash is referred to as a Mishkan, the Mishkan is referred to as a mikdash, and the reason why this is important for us is because it allows us to learn out certain aspects of the Beis HaMikdash from the psukim that are written by the Mishkan. So it allows us to learn the concept that you can't shecht karbonos in the morning until the doors of the Beis HaMikdash are open, and it also allows us to use the phrase Pesach. Although it's written by the Mishkan, we could apply it to the Mikdash as well, which then leads to the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. So Gemara says, "Vayter." The Gemara says, "Bein l'Rabbanon u'bein l'Rabbi Yehuda." Lelfu mi Pesach Shachat. So we'll say, now what the Gemara does, the Gemara switches gears for just one moment. So the Gemara now goes from dealing with the height of a Pesach to the width of a Pesach. So if you remember again, the second concept that the Mishnah brought down, was the concept of the width of the opening. So the Mishnah said, remember, how wide could the opening be in the Mavoi?
Ten amos.
Unless, of course, you have a Tzuras HaPesach, but we'll get into a Tzuras HaPesach a little bit later on. So the Gemara says, I have a kasha now. Bein l'Rabbanan, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda. Now, interestingly enough, no one argued on that particular case. Right? The Mishnah just said that it has the bracha of me'esra amos yima'it. Says, right, if it's wider than 10 amos, you have to decrease. You have to somehow lessen the opening of the Mavoi. And no one argued on that. So the Gemara says, bein l'Rabbanan, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, le'el fumi pesach sharachotzer. So I will say, the Gemara says like this, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, if you're both learning out your height requirements for a Pesach from the Beis HaMikdash, then why don't you learn out your width requirements for an opening from the Mishkan as well? After all, what does the Pasuk say? Dichsiv, Ora HaChotzer Me'a Ba'ama, the length of the courtyard of the Mishkan was 100 Amos, V'Rochav Chamishim BeChamishim, now the width was 50, the koma chamesh amos, and the height was 5 amos. Uksiv, now watch this. The pasuk says, the chamesh esrei amo kilayim lekasef. Uksiv ulekasef hashenis mizeh umizeh lashara chater. Kilayim chamesh esrei amo. Malat, so Rabbi said, listen to this. Now, the Torah says that the way the entranceway worked was the following. So remember, let's go over this. The entranceway was how wide? I should say, the width of the Mishkan was how much? 50 amos. Now the Torah says that you have 15 amos of curtains on each side. 15 amos of curtains on each side. Again, that's the psukim that I just read before. So again, on each, what they call on each shoulder, this Torah calls the shoulder, which means on each end of the opening of the width of the Mishkan, you have 15 amos of curtain. Which then means what? So we'll say, let's do our math over here. So if we have 50 amah width of the Mishkan,
And now on each side, you have 15 amos of curtains. So how much was the opening of, how wide was the opening of the Mishkan? 20 amos. Good. It took me a little while actually last night. I took off my shoes for this last night. Somebody told me there's a safe that just has the pictures, and I'm going to buy a couple of copies. Helpful to have over here. So therefore, you have 15 amos of curtains on each side, 20 amos. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says like this. So now, Rabbi Hudi Rabbanon, if you're learning out your dimensions from the Mishkan, so I would tell you the following. Just like the Mishkan had an entranceway, an opening of 20 amos at a 5 amah height, so why don't you say those are the dimensions for an opening as well of a Mavoy or any Pesach? So he says, so Malah Halon, Chamesh Berochav Esrim, just like in the Mishkan you had a 5 amah height with a 20 amah opening, Afkan Chamesh Berochav Esrim, right? Chamesh Berochav Esrim. So we'll say, we're not as concerned right now with the height as much as we are with the actual opening itself. The point is, we see an opening of 20 amos that's still called a Pesach. And yet, what did our Mishnah limit it to? Our Mishnah limited to 10. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Pesach shar ha-chotzer ikri, Pesach stoma lo ikri. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. The Gemara says, no. Because the Torah specifically calls that what? Pesach shar ha-chotzer. That was the opening for the chotzer of the Mishkan. If the Torah would have just called it Stam what? Stam a Pesach, then I would have said, oh, we could go ahead and create a halachic definition of Pesach from these particular dimensions. But now that it calls it Pesach Shar HaChotzer, that tells us that what? That these dimensions are unique for this area, but cannot necessarily be applied to any other circumstance. The Baisim, or the other possibility, is listen to this. Ki Ksiv Kelayim Chamesh Esrei Ama LeKaseith Begovahu Dichsiv. So this is very interesting. The other possibility is that when the Torah speaks about the fact that the curtains were 15 amos, it actually doesn't mean in length. What does it mean? It means in height. So also according to this model, which is quite fascinating, what you end up having over here are the dimensions of a Mishkan that had 5 amos of height all around. The walls were 5 amos of height all around, except for the front panels. There were 2 huge panels that were 15 amos tall in the front. If that's the case, then it could be that the opening was actually much smaller than 20 amos, might have even been the 10 amos, and the 15 amos dimensions of the front and curtains were for their height and not for their width. So the Gemara says the following. Kiksiv klaim chamesh esrei amah, v'kasev begovo dechsev. So the Gemara says, Gova, v'hokziv v'koma chamesh mios. What are you talking about? But the Torah, chamesh amos, excuse me, but the Torah explicitly says that the height was 5 amos. So you tell me that now it's 15. Hahu misfas mizbeach ulemalo. No, when it says that the height was 5 amos, what that's talking about from the edge of the Mizbeach, from the edge of the Mizbeach and above. What does Mirabeau say? The Mizbeach itself, as we'll see later on, was 10 amos tall. So the Gemara is suggesting that when the Torah said before that the height of the walls was 5 amos, it means 5 amos from where? 5 amos from the top edge of the Mizbeach going forward. Go above that. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, v'pischo shel ulam gamar. Now does Rabbi Yehuda really learn out his shir from the entrance we have the Ulam Shavuos? I remember. Now we're going back. So we made a little detour to speak about the width of the entranceway. What is the definition of a width of an entranceway? And remember, essentially what we've done is we've kind of thrown that out. So now we're not learning out the width of an entranceway from the width of the Mishkan, for the simple reason that it appears that since by the Mishkan it says Pesach Oel Moed, Pesach Shara Chotzer, so therefore because it has that qualifier of Shara Chotzer, therefore you can't learn out the Shir from another Pesach from this particular Pesach. Fine. So now we got rid of that. Now we're back to our originally scheduled program, which is the Machlokis Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon about the height of a Pesach. So now, up until this point, we've been assuming that where does Rabbi Huda learn his Shita from? Where does he learn from? From the Ulam. Right? How tall was the Ulam? Right? Ulam was 40 amos. Right? So therefore, again, Rabbi Huda, therefore in the Mishnah, when the Kor is above 20 amos, Rabbi Huda is not sweating it at all. He's got absolutely, it could be above 20, no problem. So Gemara says, is that true? That Rabbi Huda learns out from the opening of the Ulam? V'hotna, but we learned, v'harochav me'eser amos, yimait. Right? The Mishnah says, remember, what did our Mishnah say, Rabbosai? That halacha l'maisa, if the entranceway to the Mavui
is more than 10 amos wide, what do you have to do? You have to decrease the opening. Velo polig Rabbi Yehuda. And yet Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree. And I will say, what is the Gemara asking? If Rabbi Yehuda really learned out the dimensions of a Pesach from the Ulam, then what? How wide was the Ulam? Right, 40 by 20. Right, 40 amos tall, 20 amos wide. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yehuda should argue on the Rabbanan, even in the case of a 10 amo wide Pesach. Because according to him, he should be able to be at least 20. Right, because well, remember, the Gemara is assuming Rabbi Yehuda is not just going to learn out the shear for height from the opening of the Ulam, but Pashas is going to learn out the shear for width, for what? For the width as well. So if that's the case, why doesn't he argue in the Mishnah when the Rabbanan limit the width of the opening to 10 amos? Rabbaye, Polig Bebraisa. Because he already argued on them in the Braisa. I'm sorry? In the Beis HaMikdash. There was actual doorway, correct.
It was curtain. Right, but there was something going over also, right?
The curtain. Hung. It was on top of something.
Tzuras HaPesach,
correct. But leave aside the Mishkan, because the dimensions of the Mishkan are totally different. Totally different than any of this. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, you know why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue in the Mishnah? Because Rabbi Yehuda already argued in the Braisa. And apparently, since he already argued on the Braisa, there wasn't the need to say it again in the Mishnah. So what was the Braisa? This Sanya. V'harachav miyud amos yima'it. The Mishnah said, right, that if you have an entranceway of a mavoi that is more than 10 amos wide, you must decrease, you must diminish, he must close up part of the entranceway. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einot Tzarech L'mayit. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't have to go ahead and in any way decrease the size of the opening. Bepashas, because he's learning it out from the dimensions of the Ulam. So the Gemara says, V'liflog b'mas nisin. Right? So the Gemara says, fine. So now what the Gemara wants to suggest, Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda already argued once in the Braisa, and therefore there is not a need to go ahead and argue again in the Mishnah. So it's two problems. First of all, we're Jewish. Right? So we take every opportunity to argue. That's number one. Right? Number two, first of all, so just intuitively, it doesn't even make sense. A Mishnah is more authoritative than a Braisa. So if he's going to argue anywhere, where should he argue? He should argue in the Mishnah. And the truth is, even leaving that all aside, what does that mean? Just because you argued in the Braisa, you're not going to argue again in the Mishnah. It's a fundamental machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda, you should argue every single time the Rabbanan put forward their position. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Polig begofha v'hu adin l'rachava. The Gemara says, essentially, the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, even though this is the first time we are seeing the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda in the Rabbanan, the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda in the Rabbanan is very well known. And therefore, as soon as Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Rabbanan regarding the dimensions of height, that automatically tells us that he also argues regarding what?
Width.
Regarding width. And the Mishnah does not have to say it because it's understood. Because again, on both sides, what the Gemara is going to say is it's a package deal. Because once Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on height, what is he saying? He's saying, I learned the definition of Pesach from where? From Ulam. And therefore, if I'm learning the definition of height from Ulam, of course, what? I'm learning the definition of width as well. And therefore, again, the Mishnah, you don't have to say it. You don't have to say it because it's obvious. I will say, you know, it's interesting because Mishnah is stylistically cut both ways. Sometimes there is a concept like this where the Mishnah will just leave out information that it expects the reader to see. And there are other times where the Mishnah is very explicit and sometimes even wordy in telling us all information, even though we would have known it without. So, stylistically, it goes both ways. But the Gemara says, each says he argues on height, and once he argues by height, it automatically tells us that he's arguing on width as well. V'akati, Rabbi Yehuda in Pesach Sha'ulam Gamar. The Gemara says, really? But still, we're bothered. Is Rabbi Yehuda really learning out his halachic definition of Pesach from the Ulam? V'atayim, but we learned, Mavoi shugavah michaf amah, yemait. The Bryce says, if you have a Mavoi that's taller than 20 amos, you must diminish the height of the Mavoi. You must diminish the height of the Mavoi. Rabbi Yehuda machshir ad mem v'ad nun amo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you could even go ahead and have the mavui, even when we say, when we say the mavui could be told, remember, what are we talking about? The korah, right? You're talking about the beam that goes across. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the korah could be even 40 amos, even 50 amos tall. The Tani Bar Kafra ad mea. Bar Kafra says the korah could even be 100 amos tall. So the Gemara says, Bishlon Bar Kafra guzma. So we'll say, when it comes to Bar Kafra, Guzma, we'll say, means what? Exaggeration. We understand he's trying to make a point. You can make it as high as you want. Fine. So Bar Kafra, for reasons we'll see later on, apparently doesn't have a shear with the height of
the Korah. El Rabbi Huda, my Gusma. Bishlam Rabbi Huda are boim kamar pischal shal ulam. El nun minole. So Mar says, now this is very strange. Because if Rabbi Huda would tell me until 40 amos, I hear that. Because why 40 amos? Height of the ulam. But where does he get 50 from? Right, so we'll say 50 is already above the ulam itself. So where does he get 50? So the Gemara has to, we'll say now the Gemara has to totally go back to the drawing board. Amrav Chista, ha masnisa ata isei l'rav. Well, so remember, it was Rav from the beginning who suggested that Rabbi Yehuda learned out his position, his shir for Pesach, from the ulam. And the Gemara now suggests Rav made a mistake. Rav was wrong. And what led Rav to his erroneous conclusion? He was misled by a braisa. What's the braisa? Disanya. Mavui shuhu gavoa michav ama. Yoser mi pischo shal hechal. Yema'it. If you have a mavui that is taller than 20 amos, which is taller than the height of the hechal, you have to diminish the height of the korah. You have to bring the korah down. So the Gemara says, so Rav thought the following. Rav said, who sabar? Rav thought, Midrabanan mi pischo shal hechal gamri, Rabbi Yehuda mi pischo shal ula. So Rav made the following assumption, Rav will say, that what? That if the Rabbanan are learning out the shear for Pesach, the dimensions for an opening, from the dimensions of the hechal, remember, how tall was the hechal? 20 by 10 amos wide. So if the Rabbanan are learning out from the hechal, and Rabbi Yehuda's arguing on the Rabbanan, it must be that where does Rabbi Yehuda learn it out from? From the ulam. Rav made that assumption. Now, Rabbi Yehuda never said it. Rabbi Yehuda never said it. But Rav made that assumption. Velohi. But he was wrong. Rabbi Yehuda does not learn out his dimensions from the ulam. Where does he learn it out from? Mipischa dimelochin gamar. He learns it out from the entranceway of the palaces of kings. Now, what does it mean, Rabbi Yehuda? Take a look at Rashi. Pischa dimelochin. It's the first white line in the bottom of Rashi. Stam pischa melochim gavon harbe. Kings, right? Kings' palaces have very high ceilings and very high doorways. So what is Rabbi Huda Shita? Rabbi Huda says like this. The truth is, we see people build very high doorways, right? Okay, not the common man, but kings do it. Once it's done in palaces, then what? Then it has the definition of a Pesach. Suppose now it makes sense. That's right, in the Braisa, what did Rabbi Huda say? How tall can the Korah be? What did Rabbi Huda say? Even what? Even 40 or 50. Because what is Rabbi Huda saying? Rabbi Huda's not giving an exact shear. Rabbi Huda's just saying it could be tall. Why could it be tall? Nothing to do with the ulam. What does it have to do with? Rabbi Huda will say the definition of a Pesach is predicated or is rooted in how people built. Since people built palaces even with very high doorways, therefore even very high doorways are still called a Pesach. And therefore even if the korah is 40 or 50 amas high, it's still okay. Rav made the mistake of thinking that Rabbi Yehuda rooted his shita in the ulam because Rabbi Yehuda is the disputant of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon got their shear for Pesach from Heichal. Rabbi Yehuda has a greater shear than the Rabbanon. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda must have gotten it from the ulam. But says the Gemara, totally wrong. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't get it from there. Rabbi Yehuda just gets it based on architectural norms by the monarchy. So the Gemara says the following. Let's finish this off for both sides. The Rabbanon, imi pischa shal Heichal gemiri, liba'ol daltos keheichal. But if that's the case, if the Rabbanon are learning out the Shi'urim from the Heichal, then why don't they require that a Mavi should have doors like a Heichal as well? Alamatanan, why does it say, Beshamay, Alamatanan, Hechsher Mavoi, how do you literally make a Mavoi kosher? Which means is, how do you allow for carrying in a Mavoi? Beshamay Omrim Lechi Vekorah. We'll see this later on. Beishamai holds you need a lechi and a korah. You need both the vertical and the horizontal beams in order to go ahead and carry in a mavoi. Or beisila omrim lechi o korah. Right? But I will say one thing is clear. What don't you need? You don't need doors. You don't need doors. So you must understand, the Rabbanan learning this out from the heichal. So the heichal was the definition of Pesach by heichal was not just the dimensions, but it also had doors. To which the Gemara says, "De lassos heichal litznius ba'alma hu avdi davdinan." So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, the doors of the Pesach were only there, literally, for tznius. They were there for privacy. I will say, what does that mean? Privacy for what? I will say, you have to understand that the Beis HaMikdash was modeled after a king's palace. And therefore, again, just like in the king's palace, the doors aren't open for everyone to see. There's a certain modicum of tzniyus, of privacy. So too, again, the doors of the Beis HaMikdash were also there, so to speak, for tzniyus ba'alma. But they were not there because they are integral definition to Pesach. They were just there for tzniyus. Therefore, the Rabbanon could say the definition of Pesach is the dimensions even without the door. All right, we'll stop over. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Mir Tzah Hashem.